Our scripture lesson this morning is Psalm 103, verses 13 through 18. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we are made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Considering today's message, as always, I thought and prayed. I'm attempting to find some idea on what to preach today, considering it's Father's Day, I looked for stories and poems about fathers. Have you ever looked up stories and poems of mothers and then looked up stories and poems of fathers? Well, I don't mean this to sound sacrilegious. I tried to think if I could think of a better description, but I can't. If you look up stories and poems on mothers, you would think that a female version of Jesus lives in every household. When you look up stories and poems of fathers, 99% of them focus on the father's shortcomings and how we are the blame for every single thing wrong in society. So I thought, well, I'm not getting any help there. So I just try to reflect. And where I landed was, what are some characteristics of a faithful dad that we see in perfect form in our Heavenly Father? One of those is, dads protect their children, and often the child is oblivious that they are being protected. I've told this story before. But there was one time we were at an amusement park. Zach was real young at the time. I was taller than him then. Zach was really young at the time. And it was a hot day. And you know how amusement parks are. Little to no shade. It was hot. It was sunny. And as little boys do, Zach wasn't paying the sun any mind. He was intent, as we were waiting in line, he was intent on his turn on this ride. Well, you know the two groups of people that heat is the worst on, the very young and the very old. And so I simply moved over a step or two, and I stood between Zach and the sun. And he stood in my shadow, oblivious, just waiting on his ride, not realizing that Dad had stepped between the sun and him, protecting him from the damaging rays of the direct heat. So it is with our Heavenly Father. I wonder how many times God has protected us, but we were so intent on what had us occupied, we never noticed. But that's what dads do. It's in our DNA. That's what our Heavenly Father does perfectly. The psalmist declared in Psalm 17:8, "Guard me as the apple of the eye, hide me in the shadow of your wings." Psalm 91:1-2, "You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." In John 14, Jesus is comforting his disciples prior to his crucifixion. And he told his disciples that in his Father's house there are many dwelling places, and that he was going to prepare a place for each of them. Now I know there are many who are partial to the King James translation, and not because it's King James, but because it says, you remember it, in my Father's house there are many mansions. My great uncle was so proud that I became a preacher. He would be over 100 now if he was still living. And I remember one time going to hear him when he was in town, because he served in the Baptist church in the north, but he was down south visiting in Georgia. And we went to hear him preach at a revival, and he brought up this passage. And at that time, some of the translations that are common to us today were newer. And Uncle Wilbur says, "I don't like those newer translations." And it wasn't because he was very educated, it wasn't because it was King James or not. He says, "When I die, I don't want any little room. I don't want an apartment." He says, "I'm looking for my mansion." Well, okay, that's okay. But personally, I've never desired a mansion on earth or in heaven. For me, there is still a more significant reason for my preference. One of the hard things, and y'all forgive me if I get choked up, I don't intend to. But one of the hard things about dealing with my dad in his final years was seeing him become helpless. You see, when I was a child, like most young boys and girls, in my eyes, my dad was invincible. And when I was a teenager, I didn't mess with him. And until he had his heart attack when I was 20 years younger than him, I still didn't want to mess with him. And so when Daddy was home, everything was secure. When Daddy was home, nobody would dare mess with the house, and if they did, if they lived, they would regret it. And so when Daddy was home, everything was secure. If you're looking for your mansion over the hilltop, it's not for me to try to change your mind. I'm not. But for me, I want a room in my Father's house. When my time on this earth is done, I want a room in my Father's house, because ain't nobody going to touch my Father's house. Pain's not coming to my Father's house. Death isn't coming to my Father's house. Tears aren't coming to my Father's house. If you want your mansion over the hilltop, it's not up to me to change your mind. But I want a room in my Father's house. Even if it's just big enough for a bed and a dresser, that's okay with me. Because when I'm in my Father's house in eternity, nothing on this earth that has plagued me is even going to be a threat anymore. It won't even come close. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. In our Heavenly Father's house, there is complete protection. There is complete security. Fathers protect their families and they provide for their families. I know I've told this one before too. But I will never forget the conversation when my dad put me in my place. I can see his face right now. I can hear the tone of his voice. I can see the kitchen table. See, Dad didn't like his job. Matter of fact, he hated his job. But because of circumstances in his life, he didn't have the luxury of determining what he would want to do. He had to make a living. First for himself and then his family. So there wasn't any time for reflection. He just had to do what you have to do. And so he hated his job. And in all of my teenage wisdom, being raised up in the me generation of the 70s, in all sincerity, I said, well, Daddy, why don't you just quit? And without raising his voice, which he was prone to do, he kind of looked down a little bit. And then he looked back up. And with a stern look on his face and a firm tone in his voice, he said, when you have a family to support, you don't just quit. He put me in my place. And rightfully so. And I never forget it. If our dads were faithful in the responsibility of providing for the family, we owe them our gratitude. Whether our fathers found fulfillment in their work or if they hated their job, they were faithful. And as children, we didn't understand the motivation of love and very possibly the sacrifices they made to make sure their family was provided for. As children, we didn't have to be concerned about a roof over our head. We didn't have to be concerned about food on our plates. Because that's what dads do. Our Heavenly Father perfectly provides for God's children. All through the Old and the New Testaments, there are accounts of God providing for God's children. The account of Exodus has event after event. The Israelites cried, they were thirsty. God provided water in the desert. They cried, they were hungry. He provided wafer bread, what we call manna, every day. When they got tired of just bread and water, the Heavenly Father provided quail, all they could eat. And then, several hundred years later, Jesus is recorded in Matthew 6, 25 through 34 saying, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these? But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for these things. And indeed your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Our dads provided, and our Heavenly Father provides perfectly. And fathers also have a responsibility to discipline their children. Now, there is something my mother did when I was growing up that, looking back, was most unfair to Dad. Believe it or not, Mama got exasperated with me on occasion. Well, actually, quite often. And when she was exasperated, which was nearly daily, she would say, "You just wait till your daddy gets home." So many evenings, rather than greet Dad with enthusiasm after he had worked 8, 10, 12 hours a day, plus fought Atlanta traffic, providing for the family that he loved at a job that he hated, instead of greeting him with enthusiasm when he got home, I would dread his arrival because I was scared. That was not fair to him. Though discipline was required, it was not fair to make his return an ominous threat. Yet a faithful, caring father does discipline his children, not out of anger, not out of showing who's in control, but out of love. Out of love for the child, which means the child may not always be happy. A pastor wrote of being appalled when visiting a young family. It seems that the little girl blatantly disobeyed every instruction by her parents. And the appalling thing was, when she disobeyed, the parents laughed, commenting how cute she was and how they did not want to stifle her. The pastor was later called upon to conduct the little girl's funeral service. It seems the child was riding down the driveway when the parents frantically yelled for her to stop. The little girl heard her parents. She laughed, she waved, and ran into the path of the oncoming car. If a father loves his children, he will discipline them. Not out of anger. Not out of proving he is in control. Not to look good before his neighbors. But because he loves his children, and sometimes loving them means not being liked, not being understood, not being their friend, but being their parent. Sometimes our Heavenly Father disciplines us. It may be through a guilty conscience that seems to bother us longer than we should. God, I know I did wrong. Okay, I get it, but you know, enough already. I get it. Don't keep hounding me about it. Or perhaps even though God does forgive us for anything and everything, that doesn't mean God always takes away the consequences. God has forgiven me for every bad decision I ever made, but I have suffered the consequences for many. And hence, hopefully, I have not repeated them. Those are just two examples. But you know, when this occurs, it's not comfortable. When it occurs, God doesn't seem so loving. When it occurs, that's not the time we feel like singing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," because He's not being our friend. He's being our Heavenly Father who loves us enough to make us uncomfortable so that we might be better than we were before. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6 tells us, "My child, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when you are punished by Him." Because hear this second part of the sentence. "For the Lord disciplines those whom He loves, and chastises every child whom He accepts." A loving, caring Father disciplines His children. Our Heavenly Father disciplines perfectly. So today we celebrate our fathers who protected us, our fathers who provided for us, our fathers who disciplined us so that we may grow to be the men and the women we were created to be. And we praise our Heavenly Father who protects, who provides, who disciplines perfectly through God's perfect love. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, there's never been an easy time to be a father, to be a parent. Society has always presented challenges that made or enticed children to want to rebel. There have always been circumstances that made a parent fearful of what the future holds for their child. But gracious Lord, for those who were blessed with faithful, Christian, loving fathers, we give You thanks. And Lord, all of us this morning give You thanks for You, our good, good Father, who loves us perfectly. We praise You for Your protection, particularly in those times we did not notice. We praise You for how You have provided for us far beyond our needs. And even though we don't like it when it occurs, we thank You that You love us enough to discipline us so that we may truly be Your children. When You discipline us, help us to remember You discipline because You love. Lord, thank You. We praise You. May we be children that make You proud. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning our altar is open as it is always. If you feel led to come and pray for any reason whatsoever, please come as we sing our hymn.